family. Hope all are well and had a good restful evening. Looks like we do for some more rain, but this is not a cold rain. Could be worse. Definitely good to see so many out, and we hope, pray to test some still traveling to be with us. They'll make it here safely. And we also pray for those who are not here due to indifference or illness, whatever their need may be, that illness, that God will heal their illnesses, and that if there's indifference, that something can be said that would prick their hearts to return before it is too late. Because nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. We have to be ready. The older I get in life, the more I value wisdom. When you think about wisdom, that is something that sounds good in theory, sounds easy to kind of get, but we don't always get it, do we? All of us from time to time have done foolish things. All of us have said foolish things and acted in foolish ways. Some of us have learned lessons from looking at others. And as my dad says sometimes, some of us learn by bumping our rump. Sometimes life has a hard way of teaching you. So I want to talk a little bit about wisdom, and then we're going to look at some examples, very practical examples. Now, one of the most interesting characters, in my opinion, to study is Solomon. When you look at Solomon, man, somebody who started out so well, such a bright future, and God still loved him, but what happened? Somebody who was considered the wisest man on earth, but look at some of the things he did in his life. What happened to that wisdom? Before we answer it, ask yourself the same question. How many times have we known to do better and didn't? Sometimes we've seen and looked at life's road signs, and then we kind of just didn't see them. Sometimes we learned our best lessons when we didn't exercise wisdom. That's kind of what we see in Solomon. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to walk through this, a couple of scriptures, and I won't keep us long today, but then we're going to talk about some lessons learned from. You can learn lessons from the most odd thing, the most mundane things in life, and we're going to learn some lessons today from some such a thing once we get to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We'll skip around some in this, just hitting on some verses and some things he said about wisdom. We're going to begin at verse number 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 11. All the way down through probably 16, 18. And it reads as such. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight, which he hath made crooked. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider, God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man shall find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There was a just man that perished in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not much over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom, verse 19, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Now, when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it is definitely a book of wisdom, a word from the preacher. It's kind of what it means. You know, Solomon, for us to really understand and see that he means what he says, we can look at his life. We can look at somebody who started off so young and was so dead set on God that God would allow him to build his temple, which he did not allow his daddy David to do because of sin that David had committed. But Solomon was allowed to. And God said, I'll give you anything you want. And he asked for wisdom. But he didn't always use it, did he? If so, he wouldn't have had 300 wives and 700 concubines, if my numbers are correct. What caused him to do that? knowing what God said, knowing the wisdom, see, that's the way life is. Now, he learned some things from listening to God, but reading the book of Ecclesiastes, oh my goodness, he suffered some stuff, didn't he? We do the same thing, but I like it because in the end, when you get to the end of this, he talks about the whole matter, the conclusion of the whole matter. At the end of life, the goal was to fear God and keep his commandments. Now, you would think that maybe he could learn this early on in life, but sometimes life has a way of teaching you things as you go along. Let's read a couple more passages. Let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 13 through 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. And it says, this wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. That was a little city, and a few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet, more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And when you look at what Solomon says, that these are wise words. It's spoken in silence. Many of us can think back to some times earlier, but maybe some of those who've gone on to rest from their labors will sit us down and tell us some things. Will sit us down and tell us some things about life. And if you had folks like mine in my life, they told it to you in their own words. You know, the older you get, the more you realize you miss some things. The older you get, the more you wish you would have spent more time just listening to some wisdom. Many of us grew up with families that were not book smart, but oh my goodness, they were wise beyond their years. They couldn't tell you how to do what the hypothesis of such and such is, and they couldn't tell you the square root of nothing, but they could tell you something about life. Solomon was this way. Let's read a few more scriptures. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. Ecclesiastes 10, 12 through 15. And it reads as such, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him, who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. So you think Solomon ran into some folks like this in life? You think he ran into some folks who were just plumb fools? By what came out of their mouth, how they lived their life? You know, we have the ability. You know, one of the things I've learned is you don't have to step in every pothole to know there's potholes out there. If someone stepped in a pothole, then we have a responsibility also to tell folks about it. One of the things I think we do sometimes a disservice to others, especially those who are young in the faith, and sometimes we don't let them know which potholes to avoid. Sometimes because of our own guilt about things we've done in the past. Sometimes it is because we just don't want to deal with it. And we let folks go headlong in the situation. And sometimes in our best efforts, they still do it. Sometimes we can talk to them till we blew in the face and they blew in the face. And they never get it. But then notice, after all this, when you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, you can see that this is a man at the end of his life, who had lived his life, and he says, I've experienced everything under the sun. Money, I had it. Women, I had it. Fame, I had it. Fortune, influence, popularity, I had it. But in the end, all is vanity. What is your life about? There's nothing wrong with having certain goals in life. But in the end, if you've not done what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, then we've missed that one. Notice what it says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What whole matter? Life. Life. The conclusion of the whole matter he's talking about is life. Because he's talking about things in life. He goes through the book of Ecclesiastes. He talks about a time for everything. Time to live, time to die, time to laugh, time to cry. He had experienced all those. Then he talks about how to deal with one another. Then he talks about the foolishness of rulers. But then, at the end, it says this. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In the end, that's what's going to happen. We're going to answer for everything we've done in this life, whether it be good or bad. But notice, how much better along and further along can we be than Solomon if we get this younger in age? The whole conclusion of life, the whole meaning of life, is to fear God and keep his commandments. The sooner we figure that out, the clearer our road gets. The sooner we figure that out, the simpler our life gets. We start to figure out what our mission in life is real quick, and that is to fear God and keep his commandments and all those things that come along with it. So, we're going to learn some lessons from something, and I'll surprise some folks when I say this. There's some folks who know me. There's two things I don't really like to do. It's color and do puzzles. I just don't have the patience for it. But after my lesson tonight, my practical application, I may change my mind, because this lesson is entitled Lesson You Learn from a Jigsaw Puzzle. And I found this is not my original part, but it kind of ties into my lesson I was going to talk about. Lessons learned from a jigsaw puzzle. How in the world can you learn something from a jigsaw puzzle? We're going to look at about 11 or 12 things, maybe 10 things that we can learn from a jigsaw puzzle about life. See, sometimes it's the simplest things in life that can teach us something. Now, I don't have patience for it, and I probably in my whole life finish maybe two or three puzzles by myself. I just don't like color. I just take too much time to stay in the line. I like to color and get it over with. So that's not my bag of tea. I'm not artistic at all, but I can learn some lessons. So let's look at some lessons we can learn from a jigsaw puzzle. Lesson number one, don't ever force a piece to fit. How many times in life have we messed up by trying to force pieces to fit? I know I have, putting together a jigsaw puzzle. And what happens is it gets stuck. You warp the piece, it's gotten stuck. Now you need that piece for somewhere else and it doesn't fit. Then what happens is you get mad because oftentimes it's down to about two or three last pieces and you realize that you put something in the wrong place. You ever done that before? How mad does that make you? Sometimes we run into the same problem when we're putting stuff together and we realize we put it up backwards. I've done that before several times. I try to blame it on my left-handedness. They never make anything for left-handed folks in this world. But it's probably because I didn't read the instructions right when I really boiled down to it. I didn't follow the instructions. I thought I knew how to put it together. But when we force pieces to fit, bad things often happen. If something is meant to be, it often happens naturally. Many of us have made mistakes in our lives because we forced pieces to fit in our life. We didn't wait on God's timing. We didn't use wisdom. We didn't see a lot of the things that we were supposed to see. So don't force pieces to fit. Point number two, when things aren't going so well, take a break. If you've ever tried to put together one of those huge puzzles, you know, oftentimes those folks who love puzzles, they put it in a place and it's halfway done. Now, sometimes they have other things to deal with, but sometimes just getting away from it for a little while will help you come back and see the picture. You will see a whole different side of things. Just by learning to take a break. A little bit of wisdom happens is when we get so tired and frustrated and things aren't going well, just take a break every now and then. And if you come back, your mind will be different, your vision will be different, your view of things will be different, and you can see then how to continue on. Many of us have had to do that in our lives. Christ had to do that. From time to time, if Jesus took rest and got away from folks, why don't we think we can't do it? Why do we feel like that's wrong? Sometimes you need to do that. Sometimes you need to do it so that you can be recharged, but also so that maybe you can see things the right way. There's nothing wrong with backing away from a problem. I know I've done that before, and I put something together, and it's been halfway there. I go back the next day, finally read the instructions in that time period, and then I can see the whole thing together. And all it did was take a break. Before I broke the pieces and couldn't use it anymore, I just had to back away from it. So that's some wisdom in taking a break. Point number three, be sure to look at the big picture. Getting hung up on the little pieces leads to frustration. Now, you know, in a jigsaw puzzle, they usually put the picture what it's supposed to look like on the outside. Now, unless you look at that big picture, all them pieces going to look alike. You get frustrated because you got a little bit of tip of something over here, and you got a big part of something over here, and then you got something that's just one color. And if you're not careful, you will get frustrated and throw every piece across the room like I've done before. But they give you that picture to let you know what it's supposed to look like in the end. God's given us a picture of what life is supposed to look like in the end. We oftentimes take our eyes off the big picture, and then we get frustrated, and pieces start flying everywhere. God's way is simple. Why don't we listen? You've seen so many folks in life, so many folks who have done exactly the wrong thing. What they're doing is they're not looking at the big picture. What's the big picture for us? Is our soul salvation. Where are we going to spend eternity? If we lose sight of that, there'll be some things that won't fit. And oftentimes those things are associated with God. We spend more time on things that don't matter than we do on making our call and election sure. We spend more time, more energy, more resources, more of our talents on things that don't matter in the end than we do about serving God. We've gotten this thing backwards, and there's nothing wrong with having these things, but I think sometimes we lose sight of the big picture. Well, as my grandma once said, sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. If you look at every little tree, then you'll never see the big picture of the forest. And why is it so important to see the forest? Because oftentimes in a forest, there is a path that you missed. There is a path that somebody else has walked. There's a path and markers. Anybody who's been in the woods a long time, they know who hunt. You can get lost easily in the woods. Ain't that right, Nathan and Lewis? You can get lost easily in the woods. You know, if you don't know your way around, every tree will look the same. But you learn to look at markers, right? Well, you know, if you pass this rock four or five times, you're probably going in circles. If you know you've done, use some wisdom. So we have to be able to do that. Look at the big picture. Point number four. Just like in putting together a jigsaw puzzle, perseverance always pays off. Every important puzzle, including the puzzle of life, is put together bit by bit and piece by piece. How many of us have tried to do that when putting together a jigsaw puzzle? I tried it before. I tried to put together half of it on this side and then the other half on that side, and not knowing that maybe them pieces looked alike. Then I get mad and tear it all apart, but maybe, just maybe, I was only one or two pieces away. Just change a little piece. Instead of examining every piece, I tore it down and put it back in the box. And all I had to do was look at every piece and see that that quite didn't fit right there. So when you think about life, take it day by day. How do you live life? One day at a time. Christ tells us that. We're so busy off in the future that we can't even enjoy the day. Many of us are so worried about tomorrow that we never learn to enjoy the moment. Many of us are so handicapped and tied up with our past that we never see the blessing of today. Bit by bit, piece by piece. How do we live life? That's how we live it. There'll be good days and bad days. But as that song says, when you look around, all of your good days always outweigh your bad days. I don't care what you're dealing with. Your good days have outweighed your bad days. So what does that do for you? That lets you know that if it's a bad day, all you got to do is keep living. The next day it may turn around. That's how we keep hope. That's how we keep our sanity. That's how we keep our minds focused on things. So perseverance pays off. Point number five, I think I'm at. When one spot stops working, move to another, but be sure to come back to it later. Now, that's very good wisdom when you're talking about putting together a puzzle. If you get stuck on that one piece that you're trying to force and figure out, that time you spent frustrated and mad, you could be putting together the rest of the puzzle. And maybe just by doing that, you'll find out where that piece fits. So sometime when it doesn't look like life is coming all together and you don't get what you want at that point in time, put some other parts of the puzzle together. Focus on some other things in your life, and you'll be surprised of how that thing, that piece you're trying to force into place, often fits. Why? Because you're able to see the big picture. You're able to understand where it goes. All the other pieces that look like that are already in the puzzle. So then it becomes easy. It becomes easier when you've done that. Don't get so frustrated with life that you give up. Sometimes just move on and come back to it. Point number six. The creator of the puzzle gave you the picture as a guidebook. This is our guidebook. He created us. He created life. If you want to figure out life, get into the book. If you want to meet God, he comes in the volume of the book. You want to ask about every problem that's under the sun, it's in the book. He gave it to us. This is our guidebook. This is our plan. Many times we mess up, just like I do from time to time, when we don't read the instructions and try to figure things out for themselves. Or we don't like what the instruction says. The instruction says you do this first. You do A, B, C first. But many times when I was putting something together, I started with piece number Z and worked my way backwards. That's a hot mess, church. Maybe y'all hadn't done that. But if it's a big piece, and I see it, and I think I can figure it out, but oftentimes what I've done is I've left off a key washer that's going to keep it together. I always have leftover washers. I don't know about y'all. Leftover washers and screws. I just put them with the rest of them. And then when they break down, I know where it's at. I know where it goes. That's just me, though. Maybe y'all not that way, but I've done that before. And look how much time I've wasted. Now, I've gotten everything together, put it together backwards, and it looks like it works, and then I figure out that it doesn't work. So what do I have to do? Take it all down. Break it all back down. Because why? I didn't read the instructions and put it together the right in the first place. Now I wasted some time in my life and I learned some lessons. Now I read the instructions every other time. I'm working on it. But it used to be none of the time, so I'm getting better with that. But that's what happens in life. Point number seven. Variety is the spice of life. It's the different colors and patterns that make the puzzle interesting. When we think about life, God has given us a chance to live an interesting life. You know, sometimes we never take time just to be thankful for God's creation and nature. How many times have you really, when you've been in a bad mood, in a bad situation, just take time to go outside, maybe sit on your front porch, and see what God has designed for you. It makes a big difference. It will blow your mind when you just look and hear a hummingbird and you can see a hummingbird. How in the world did he make a hummingbird? And why that's the only bird that got a reverse on it? You ever think about that? I think about stuff like that. Why did he make this and that? I ain't got too much use for mosquitoes, but I guess he made them for some reason too. Then you look at how the world works. You look at how the sun sets and rises in the morning and comes over the hill. We go through life too fast. Many of us never stop to smell the roses. That's what happens sometimes when you live life in chunks. Every day is a blessing. Every day we ought to realize that we serve a God who's so powerful. We serve a God who loves us so much, gave us this earth for us to use and abuse, for us to use it up. But there's so many things in nature, there's so many things in our everyday life. If only we took the time. How often are we really thankful that God woke us up in the morning? Or do we drag out of bed sometime like he done us a disfavor? What about the attitudes in the morning? I know sometimes it's hard to get up in the morning, but there were a whole lot of folks who's not getting up in the morning. A whole lot of folks who didn't make it through the night. When you put one foot in front of the other and every bone it seemed like eight, there'd be some folks who would trade places with you in a minute who've not walked in years. When we got to see folks and see things we don't like and go to work and deal with folks we don't like, I bet somebody who's lost their sight will trade places with you in a minute. See, we take it bad. We take too many things for granted. You can learn a lot of stuff from a jigsaw puzzle. So we learn those beautiful colors, that beautiful flower that you're putting together. If you understand it was God who created it, then also you can take some beauty in it. That's maybe one thing I have to do. Because usually puzzles, in the end, they make a beautiful picture. And sometimes I take my eye off of it because I think they just made all them little pieces to frustrate me. Maybe, just maybe, that's a way for me to slow down and look at the big picture and enjoy. Take time to enjoy putting together a jigsaw puzzle. Point number eight. Working together with friends and family makes any task fun. Oh, man, you can have some fun. If you get somebody to put the puzzle together with you, you get to talking and laughing and enjoying it, and we put that thing together, it's actually fun. You realize that, hey, that's somebody else there helping you along the way. And oftentimes, if you're like myself, whenever I've done it and really enjoyed it, I enjoy the company more than the puzzle. I enjoy talking and laughing sometimes. Just being in the presence of certain folks who laughing at me when I put the pieces in wrong. It helps out a lot. And then they've done it before, and they put that puzzle together many times before, and then they laugh at you because you got everything backwards. But then the same person will get it straightened out for you so that you'll be able to laugh at yourself. It's what makes the difference in this world. That's some folks in this world who make every day better. That's the folks in this world. No matter what kind of bad day you have, you know if you see them or talk to them, it's going to be all right. And maybe you're that person for somebody else. Don't ever take for granted for what you do. Don't ever take for granted that you're important to somebody else, that you mean something to somebody else. One of the most awful things I see sometimes in the world is somebody who's given up hope and decided they have no value. Oh, my goodness. We're all valuable to somebody. And it may not be everybody, but don't worry about everybody. You mean something to somebody. You're the sunshine in somebody's day. I oftentimes think about that in working with young kids and how some of them kids come to school and they, Lord have mercy, they've been dealing with some stuff. And the last thing they need to see sometimes is somebody who's mad and makes them feel unwanted. And I know they get on your nerves, but that should never happen. We have some folks who come on Wednesday nights that, Lord have mercy, the lives they live, it's terrible. The last place that they ought to feel unwanted is here. If nothing else, you can give them a smile. If nothing else, you can say glad to see you. I know they get loud sometimes. I understand all that. But maybe, just maybe, you're the only person who decided to smile at them that day. Maybe you're the only person who decided to take time to say glad to see you, as opposed to making you feel like you got to play. We oftentimes don't realize the blessings we can be to other folks because we get so consumed with ourselves. You may be the only person to help that person out just that time. Another thing in life that you can learn from jigsaw puzzles is establish the borders first. Boundaries always give a sense of security and order. If you can put together the edges of a puzzle, that's a long way down the road. Because then things start to fit together. When we have the edges of our life, puzzle of life put together, when we understand what he says in Ecclesiastes, when he says the whole conclusion of the matter is to fear God and keep his commandments, make that your border. And everything else fits within that border. It makes sense then. But you got to start. Anybody who's a very good, skilled puzzle solver or puts together puzzles, that's the first thing they do. Watch them. They try to put together the edges first. And look at that box, and they put together the edges first because then they got some boundaries. Then stuff starts to fit together. That's also very smart for us to do in life. Point number 10. I got this and one more point. Take time to celebrate your success, even little ones. Now, don't be like me. If I can't get the whole thing together, I'll put the whole thing back in the box in a heartbeat. But sometimes, if you putting together 1,000-piece puzzle, and you put together 100 pieces, that's progress. Don't tear it down. Just add some more to it tomorrow. The more you may add to, the more you may have 200 more. But learn to celebrate little successes. That's what makes life different. That's what makes life blessing. That's what gives us blessings in life. That's what gives us hope. The more little successes that you can recognize in somebody else's life, the more chance you got of seeing bigger successes. Sometimes it's the little things, the things they've done. They've had a good day. Tell me they had a good day. I do it a lot with the kids I work with. Now, that rascal's been terrible for 4 days out of the week. But on Friday, he got a smiley face. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to celebrate the smiley face like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And he goes on happy. Now, next week, we're going through the same thing, but you can always find something to point them out. You can always find something like that. So we have to learn to do that. And then this last one is, anything worth doing takes time and effort. A great puzzle cannot be rushed. So why do we rush through life when God is putting our puzzle together every day? One of the things I'm reminded of is, you know, most of us, maybe not, maybe you weren't this way. When I was younger, all I wanted to do was be grown and make my own decision. Guess what? That's overrated. Amen. The day I became grown is the day I wanted to go back home because it ain't that fun. It ain't all it's cracked up to be. It ain't all it is. So sometimes we don't realize how good we have it. Many times I mumbled under my breath, I can't wait till I'm grown. It's my own business. No, I had it good when I was eating mom and dad's food. I had it good when they was keeping the lights on. I had it good. And all I had to do was go to school and play sports and go to church. That was blessed. That was a blessed life. But often do we sometimes look at things as cursing as well as blessings. So many lessons for us to learn, even from Solomon, but also from something as simple as a jigsaw puzzle. And I pulled that from an article a while back, maybe about 15 years ago, from House to House. It kind of made sense with my lesson, but I sit there like, man, I need to maybe start back doing puzzles again. Maybe I can learn some stuff. So I'm going to try to work on it. I got to get my frustration meter down, but I'm going to try to work on it a little bit. But there's so many things we can learn from just simple, mundane things in life. We as Christians, we are the most blessed people on this side of the living. Why don't we live like it? Why don't we go into our day full of joy? Now, we know some of the things that we deal with won't be joyful, but oh my goodness, do you really realize that one more day on this earth, we're one more day closer to our reward? You're one more day closer to spending time with Jesus, whether it be by death, because actually in death it gets better, or we're one more day closer to Him coming back. Instead of being frustrated with life, why are we looking forward to it? Because we know, without a shadow of a doubt, that there's something prepared for us that our mind can't even grasp. We get glimpses of it in Scripture. He gives us little glimpses of heaven, but if He really told us what heaven was like, as Brother Cecil said sometimes, it'd blow our brain, slam out our head. Because we can't. But how do you look at life? And when you look at life that way, is it really that difficult and that hard to work for the Master? Is it really that hard to take the gospel to a lost and dying world with the right attitude? We know what's out there for us. Using an everyday example, if there was a big party, a big celebration coming up, and it was free, how many of you wouldn't tell folks? We'd be telling everybody, you know what, it's great, it's going to be great. It's free, you ain't got to pay, no. Just come on, all you got to do is get there. Man, we ought to be talking about this thing called heaven and our relationship with our Lord and Savior more than anything. We often talk about it less than anything. We talk about everything else but how good God is sometimes. We talk about everything else about how blessed we ought to be in Christ. There's some folks in the world that need it. There's some folks in the world who have no hope. We have hope, blessed hope in Christ Jesus. It gets gooder and gooder, excuse my English, for Christians every day. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have those bad days, but as it talks about in 2 Corinthians 4, 15 through 18, they are but light afflictions. Because you got to be able to see the unseen. You got to be able to look at the big picture and know that even though the outward man perishes, our inward man is renewed day by day. Many of us never get past the outward man perishing and forget that the more we grow, the more we become like Christ. The more we grow, the more we take our eyes off this physical world with all of its physical problems. You and I are one day closer. We're more like Christ today. We ought to be than we were yesterday. So what if you ache a little bit? So what if you're going to the doctor a little bit more? It's all right. This old body is going to go through dust one day, but you're not. All you're going to do is make that transition. That's what it is. That's why we can still smile. That's why even the death of a Christian, it talks about it. Blessed are the saints who die in the Lord. He says blessed. Oh my goodness. Let us take that into our life. And you'll be surprised how many folks you draw because you're lifting up King Jesus, because He's the only reason we have this hope. He's the only reason we can still smile when it looks like we should be crying. He's the only reason we finally figured out this puzzle called life. And it seems like because you trust God and you trust His pattern, that all the pieces line up for you. But from time to time, we try to make things fit. Repentance is taking it apart and then doing things God's way. So if you want to do not obey the gospel, you do that by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And if you are a Christian, and maybe, just maybe, you've been trying to make some pieces fit, you've been doing some things that you maybe ought not to, it's okay. The puzzle's still there and the picture's still there. You have the instruction book, the guidebook. It's okay to take it back now and put it back together. What a beautiful picture it'll be. You won't give a picture with, ears upside down on a picture. If you got a picture of Mickey Mouse, you got one up here and one up here down here. And you like, well, that's just the way it's supposed to be. No, it's not supposed to be that way. God wants to hear. He makes us for beautiful pictures if we learn to listen to him. So if you have one desire to put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer, we ask you to please stand as we sing a verse.